the Lord. Amen. He is glad.
Amen.
Fella said, I'm glad and I'm not sad.
Glory.
Amen. I tell you, thank the Lord. Praise God. God is on the move.
Amen.
God is on the main line. Praise God. We used to sing an old chorus, God is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Amen. Pentecostal singing.
That's right. That's what that is.
Isn't it? Praise God. Isn't the Lord good? Well, the Lord bless each one this morning. I do give everyone a warm welcome in their service in the name of the Lord. And I just want to thank everyone for your prayers. My dad's home.
Amen.
And he's doing well.
Amen.
And we just thank the Lord for his mercy. I believe God touched him. And the bleeding and everything stopped. And we just believe it was God.
Amen.
And also we want to remember Brother Nigel as well, remembering your prayers the week earlier, and Brother Gary's prayed, and we just believe God's going to do something.
Yeah.
And others, also Timothy. Timothy had a problem yesterday. They think he has like an irregular heartbeat. There's several different things he can do for it. So we want to pray for Timothy, and I think he's coming this evening. I'm maybe going to get, if he comes this evening, the brothers to pray with Timothy as well. And we're starting this evening at 3:30. And we just look into the Lord. God's able.
Amen.
We thank the Lord for the doctors and the nurses. And, you know, I was saying to my dad that even God's prophet, William Branham, sent people to the doctor. And he told one person, there's a certain doctor who'll do the operation. And he sent them to the doctor. So we believe in doctors. We believe in nurses. But, you know, when they've done all they can do, and they say there's no more hope, that's when God, there is hope. Praise God. There's always hope for the Lord. Dr. Jesus has never lost a case. Praise God. Well, the Lord bless you. I'm not going to take any time up talking, and I'm going to try and keep to our time this morning, no more than 40 minutes, and so that we can get out in time and back tonight. And I want us to turn to Daniel chapter 2. And this is the third message in the series. And maybe the first was an outline of Daniel's background, where he served 3 years in the teaching in Nebuchadnezzar's province as a student, and also Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then we saw where the king changed their names, and he gave them the names of his land. And also, just a background, but this morning I want to take a few verses at a time in chapter 2. And I might have mentioned chapter 2 before. I might get to the image this morning. If I don't, we'll get to it this evening. I don't want to rush it. I just want to go as the Lord leads. But I'm going to tell you this. You can spend hours. Now, I mean a day. Another day. Just studying this all out. And there's lots of commentators. But they've all, some of them, different opinions or different things. So if you don't understand someone, don't worry about it. Just leave it. And continue on. But I will say one thing. I'm going to show you this morning. Some people say we don't need revelation. That's a contradiction to the Bible.
Right.
An absolute contradiction. We need revelation.
Amen.
Daniel prayed for it.
Right.
And God gave him it.
Amen.
So it's good to pray for revelation. Let's read from verse 1, just the first 6 verses to start us off. Praise God. From verse 1. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep break from him. Then the king commanded to call all the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king of Sirach, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream, With the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts, rewards, and great honour. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. Let's just bow our heads this morning for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that we can bow before you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We would ask this morning that the Holy Spirit would interpret us your word. We would pray that you would give us revelation and stimulation in Jesus Christ's name. We say amen till all that's been prayed for Nigel's wee girl. We ask indeed you will touch her brother's praying. Continue to strengthen my dad. Continue to strengthen Timothy and touch him and heal him. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Father, bless this service. Give thyself all the praise and all the glory. Anoint thy servant with the Holy Spirit, I pray. Lord, I know I'm nothing, but you're everything. And Lord, I know that through you we can do anything.
Amen.
Because you're unchangeable. I take therefore the Holy Spirit to help me, and I thank you, Lord, to do it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. This second chapter of Daniel deals with Nebuchadnezzar's forgotten dream. And the king had a dream which predicted coming events in world history. And God gave Nebuchadnezzar this dream at least 2,600 years ago to show the outline of the world history from his time to the time of Jesus coming to the earth. So thousands of years before this time, this was shown what would happen in the latter days. I have noticed as I have studied the book of Daniel, it is absolutely fantastic. I can see now, I never did study it much before, but I can see why the devil never wants it preached from. It absolutely predicts this very hour. Many students believe even the EU is in the 10 toes. And many of them write that and they talk about it. I might not get into that this morning and talk about that, but we'll just go as the Lord leads. I want to take this first part to show us as Christians our lives, examples here for us from Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Because of this dream, the king couldn't even sleep. He was fearful, so the king wanted to know the interpretation of the dream. Now, if you go to verse 7, and keep yourself in Daniel here, we're going to read through some verses 7 to 13. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servant the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of a certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such a thing of any magician or astrologers or Chaldeans. And it is a rare thing that the king requires, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods. But these men couldn't interpret it. They didn't know how to interpret it. So they slyly put the blame on the gods. There's a lot of people do that today, down to the gods. But there is no gods. There's one God. Always remember the absolute fact of the Bible.
Yes.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God, one Lord. There's one. Now the devil poses as God. He's named as the God of this evil age, meaning an object of worship, but there's absolutely one God. There's not two gods, or three gods, or four gods. There's one God, and he's known as Almighty God. He is Almighty, all-knowing, all-supreme, omnipotent, omnipresent. He's everywhere. He holds the very breath we breathe. The clouds are but the dust of his feet. There's no one can be compared like Almighty God. Not even allowed in the same breath. was Almighty God, because He's so omnipotent. He spoke the world into being from nothing.
Amen.
God did. And even before He was known as God, He was a self-existing one. He dwelt alone by His thoughts. And even back then, before He was known as God, there was attributes in Him for salvation, for healing. Everything we have was an attribute in God already, even before the world was framed or formed. That's how many our God is. So when we hear these people today in the lap of the gods, that's absolutely antichrist. This is where they got it from, these boys here. For this cause the king was angry and furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to slay them. I tell you, these fellows, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, came under the sentence of death more than once. And I tell you, the word of God tells us all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. When you set your sights to live for God, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to come under trial. You're going to come under many different circumstances. But you need to know the God of Daniel.
Amen.
And if you're really seeing, you do know the God of Daniel. And He knows you. Praise God. When the king commanded that they tell the interpretation of the dream without hearing, when they dreamed, they protested. They wanted time. And the king refused to change his mind and instead insisted that they should produce the dream and its interpretation together. Now I tell you one thing. It's one thing for you to dream a dream, and it's one thing for somebody to say what they think of it. But you try and tell a man a dream that he never told you, and see who can do that. But I'll tell you, our God's able to do anything.
Amen.
Remember this, that it was God that gave Nebuchadnezzar the dream. It was God that put Nebuchadnezzar in the place of power, and we're going to see a little later that he is that head of gold.
Amen.
And he was known in the Bible as the King of Kings, Nebuchadnezzar was, in several scriptures, known as the King of Kings, on earth now, not as in the heavenly king. They only when they could know that for certainty the interpretation of the dream correctly could they interpret it. So they needed to know it, but they didn't know it. And the king wouldn't tell them it. Being pressed, the magicians, they shipped the responsibility to the gods. They said there's no man living, in other words, could do it. No man alive could do it. Only this lays in the lap of the gods. That's the modern language. Not what they say. It lays in the lap of the gods. They think it's going to rain. It lays in the lap of the gods. That's nonsense. Well, you're going to see that this didn't lay in any lap of any gods. But God done it. This made the king more furious, and he ordered the execution of the wise men of Babylon and the destruction of the houses. He actually said, let the houses be like a dunghill. Slay every one of them. That included Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Every one of them was under a death sentence here. Now, I'll tell you, you'd be fearful if you're under the death sentence with the king, because his commandments are going to be carried out. He's the head man. The commandment of the king's guard went out, and all the soldiers executed his orders, and the situation became grave. But I want you to see verse 14 and 16, and I want you to see the bold faith of Daniel. I want you to see the bold faith of Daniel. And I want us this morning to take an example from this bold faith of Daniel, that there's circumstances will arise in our lives, that circumstances will arise in a Christian experience, and we need to have bold faith.
Amen.
And you know the Bible says of the early church that they had boldness.
Right.
They did great boldness as they went forward and the Lord worked with them.
Amen.
And God wants us to have boldness
right.
In the face of death. And they were facing death, but they had boldness. Then Daniel answered the counsel and the wisdom of Tariq, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. Verse 15. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known unto Daniel. Verse 16. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time that he would show the interpretation. Now I want you to see the interpretation of the king. The fear of Daniel and his three friends hung on a thread. I'll tell you one thing, it's one thing to say you believe, but it's another thing when the man says the rubber hits the road. And the rubber was hitting the road here, so to speak, with Daniel. Daniel was in a situation where God was going to have to come on the scene. Daniel was in a situation of death. The execution orders had went out already. That they were all of a slain and the houses made a dunghill. But I tell you, Daniel had boldness. He wasn't afraid of the words of the king because he knew he served the real king. The king of heaven. The king of Salem. Prince of peace, he's called.
Amen.
Without father, without mother, without Aslan, without descent. The king of kings, the real king. But notice the boldness of those who trust God. The people were frightened out of their senses by the king's commandment to execute all the magicians and the enchanters of Babylon. But Daniel, who trusted in the eternal God, was not moved. Instead, he simply asked the king for some time to seek God for the interpretation. Daniel's response is a lesson to every one of us that can trust God in any difficult situation. God doesn't want us to panic. God doesn't want us to fear. He hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of truth and of a sound mind. And this is an example to every one of us this morning, even when we're facing death itself. We're not to panic or fear, but we're to trust God.
Amen.
Trust God. Didn't Paul say, "O death, where's thy sting? O grief, where's thy victory?" If death should take one of us, what about it? Paul says, "Absent from the body, present with the Lord."
Amen.
But Jesus conquered death.
Right.
Daniel had no fear of this.
Right.
Praise God. In ordinary times, it may seem, you know, when you look at situations, and many times people think there's no difference in the Christian or the believer and the non-believer. But when the pressure comes on, there's a difference, all right. When trouble comes, there's a difference, all right. The unsaved have no hope. The unsaved have no anchor. The unsaved have no place of surety. But you and me as believers have a rock in Christ Jesus. We have a shelter in the storm. We've a hiding place in the Lord. We've a place where we can seek God. We've a place where we can go to. We've a place of assurance, a place of safety. We can look, as the psalmist David said, under the hills, when whence cometh my help cometh from the Lord.
Amen.
The unsaved don't have this, but the saved have it.
Glory.
You're saved for all time, and you're saved for all eternity. And the Word of God says you have an earnest hope. Hope that maketh not ashamed. Paul says in Romans 5, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We have a hope this morning. And I can tell you, Daniel had a hope that these other men didn't have. He had a hope that the magicians didn't have. He had a hope that the soothsayers and the astrologers didn't have. Daniel had a hope because Daniel knew God. Daniel wasn't a Hebrew. Daniel knew the God of gods, the real God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Daniel knew. He knew, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord.
Amen.
We should never be afraid of what comes. We should never be afraid of what happens. But we should turn to the Lord.
Right.
We should turn to the Lord. And I want you to see that Daniel not only turned to the Lord, but he had a special prayer meeting. And I want you to see not only the special prayer meeting, but he called for his friends to come. And I believe this is a law of the Word of God, that one upon a thousand of flight, two to tens of thousand, and a threefold cord's not easily broken.
Yeah.
God's Word can't fail.
Right.
Daniel's response should remind us that we can trust God in every difficult situation.
Yeah.
Once adversity comes, however, there's a great difference. Those who do not trust in Jesus are easily frustrated and tend to complain. They grow uneasy and try to escape the circumstances, as the pagan magicians did. Give us more time, they said. They want to wriggle out of it. They claim all these great things. Don't they do it today? Doesn't this world claim so many great things? But they know absolutely nothing. Do you realize that? We put our trust in men. Men will fail. It is God that's in charge.
Amen.
It is God that rules the universe. It's Almighty God that's in control.
Amen.
All that's happening is just the signs of the end.
Right.
We are absolutely living in the end days. I want you to know that. That's another thing I saw as I've been studying this. We are living in the end days. We're living in the end time. The time for the Gentiles is almost gone. When Israel won the Six-Day War in 1967, that changed things. Israel's back in their homeland again, and God is going to turn to them Jews. And the Gentiles' time is almost finished. We're at the end time.
Amen.
We are at the end time. Praise God. They grew uneasy. Now, on the other hand, Christians can overcome crisis and hardship like Daniel, relying upon God. When you bold faith, and God wants you to bold faith this morning.
Amen.
He wants you not to be afraid to clap your hands on your son or your daughter when they're dying, when they're sick, and pray a prayer of faith for them. He wants you not to be afraid when you're in a situation. You have a right as a Christian. You have a high priest that never leaves you. He says, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world.
Amen.
You have a right as a Christian. You're, the word of God says you're a king and a priest unto God. He's given you the keys. What are they, brother? The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus Christ is the keys.
Amen.
That whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And the original says already done.
Amen.
God's given you the authority. Daniel had that authority. I want you to see the revelation of God here in verse 17 and 18. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known unto Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Being forced with such a hasty decree from the king, Daniel called his three friends for an extra meeting. I'll tell you, that's what's wrong with this country today. Every time a politician is called for a meeting, they've laughed at him. When President Trump called for a prayer meeting, they laughed at him. They made mockery of it in all the papers over the world. When Ian Paisley was living in this country and he called for a prayer meeting, they laughed at him. But the Word of God says, strictly and plainly, when my people shall humble themselves and fast and pray, they will hear from heaven. But when they forsake God, judgment comes. And I tell you, Daniel called for an extra prayer meeting here. He was having three a day before that. Three times a day praying. Three meetings a day, have a God. We talk about no time, we're too busy for this, too busy for that. What would have happened if your breath went from you? You wouldn't be too busy then. I tell you, we need to make time for Jesus.
Amen.
We need to make time for prayer. We need to make time to wait upon God. We need to make time to tell others that Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
Need to be prepared to come to the Lord's hand. Daniel was a man that knew the power of corporate prayer. The urgency of the king's decree might have sent Daniel to the mountain to pray alone, but he didn't do that. He called his friends. I'll tell you, it's good if you have friends that can pray. Great when you have friends that can pray. Great if you can call somebody and where you can pray with them. Pray together.
Amen.
It's great when a husband and wife can pray together. It's great when a family can pray together. That's why the devil gets in homes. That's why he wants to break down the family altar in homes where there's no prayer in homes. Where there's no control in homes. And he wants to get into home and he wants to take the prayer out of homes. And he wants to bring everything else into the home. And it's the same in schools. He wants to take the prayer out of the schools. And the Bible out of the schools. Why? Because of the God of this evil age behind it. But thank God for the real king's coming.
Amen.
The urgency of the king's decree might have sent Daniel to the mountain, but instead he called for his friends and they prayed together. Now this is a lesson to every one of us as believers. We're going to call this the law, companions in prayer. The law of companions in prayer. Maybe if you're out somewhere and something happens, if you can get just your wife or another brother get together and pray when a situation happens. Jesus, when he sent them out two by two. When Noah had the ark, they brought in two of each. Isn't that right? God works like that. And I tell you, it's good if you can get a hold of somebody to pray with you.
Amen.
Pray into the situation. Pray the power of God into the situation. And they prayed together. Still good today. The prayer of a couple is more desirable than the prayer of one single person. And the prayer of the whole family is more better than the praying of two. And when we're praying for revelation, we need to get together and pray. And Daniel and his friends got together. Now I want you to remember this. They were praying for revelation. Daniel was praying that God would give him the dream. Daniel was praying that God would give him the revelation. They had a prayer meeting. When you don't understand something in the Bible, you know, don't go and ask here or there or yonder. They might know either. But go and seek the face of God.
Amen.
And go and hide yourself away with the Lord. And pray to the Lord. And ask the Lord to show you. And ask the Lord to confirm it to you.
Amen.
And ask the Lord to make it plain to you. And I believe the God of Daniel is still God.
Glory.
And he'll show you his word. If you have fervent faith, prayer together, according to this law, God will answer that prayer more quickly. After Daniel and his friends prayed to God that night, God revealed Nebuchadnezzar's dream to Daniel in a vision. When Daniel awakened the next morning, what did he do? He praised God. He praised God. Many times when God answers us, we don't give him the glory. Many times, no, we do. Brother so-and-so prayed. I think it's because he prayed. Sister so-and-so prayed. I think it's because she prayed. You know that's wrong. Brother so-and-so might have been answered. Sister so-and-so might have been answered. But it was God that done it. It was God that needs the glory. It was God that we need to praise. It was God we need to uplift. It was God that we need to say, thank you, Jesus.
That's right.
Never puff yourself up and say, my prayer was answered. His or she's, wasn't it? It's the Lord that done it.
Amen.
Daniel knew that. Daniel didn't boast himself in himself. Daniel didn't go in and say, look at me. None of that happened. Daniel praised God. Look at verse 20.
Glory.
Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
I'll tell you, that's how you start out. You praise him.
Right.
You magnify him. You uplift him.
Right.
You don't uplift Daniel. You uplift the God of Daniel.
Amen.
Praise God. Verse 21. Look, forever and ever. Verse 20. For the wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know no understanding. Verse 22. He revealeth the deep secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Verse 23. Thank thee and praise thee, thou, O God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made unknown unto me now what we desired of thee. So he's referring back to the God of Abraham. Glory to God. Of Isaac and Jacob. He's given praise to God. He's recognizing where he come from. He's recognizing God, what he done before, he's doing again. Praise God. For thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. We can see Daniel's response to God's revelation in this example to follow. He had a heart of gratitude to God. God wants us to have a heart of gratitude. When God touches somebody, don't take it as a light thing. It's a big thing that God's done it. God has spared someone. Give God praise. Give God the glory. There's others that weren't spared. They're dead. They're gone. But when God does it, give God the praise and the glory.
Amen.
Why do you think when somebody gets saved, the Bible says even the angels in heaven rejoice?
That's right.
It's a soul saved.
Amen.
Thank God.
Amen.
Look with me down to verse 24. Now I know I'm reading a few scriptures, but bear with us. Therefore Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah. And if you want to go back in one of our other service, I give a bit of a history. How he became a captive, just to let you see, they were captured, they were captives. And a lot of people take it from here, that the Gentiles started to reign and take over. But you know, really, when the Jews said crucify him, that's when the Gentiles come in. Because the Jews said, let his blood be in us, and let his blood be in our children. And God turned from the Jews to the Gentiles. But that time's finishing now. Because Israel's in her homeland, and God is turning back to them Jewish people. And the Gentile time's up. Did you hear me? It's midnight. People are saying it's almost midnight. It's midnight. There's a cry without at midnight. We're upon midnight. Peasley preached a sermon 30 seconds to go. We're close this morning to the coming of the Lord. Look at verse 26. Then the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven. Oh, I like that. A God in heaven. Not on earth, but he's in heaven. Praise God. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. You get that we phrase, the latter days. The dream and the vision of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter, and he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, the secret is not revealed to me, for any wisdom that I have more than any living. But for their sakes it shall make known the interpretation of the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thine heart. Finally, Daniel was brought into the presence of the king to tell him both the mysterious dream and its interpretation. Yet notice that Daniel did not come to the king simply to tell the dream and interpretation. He stood before the king with a determination, with an opportunity to witness about God. And Daniel here, I want to emphasize this. You say, get on with it. No. I'm going to emphasize these points. They need emphasized. Everybody takes Daniel and they run over into the burning furnace and they run over to chapter 7 and chapter 9 and that's it. But I'm going to look at every chapter. I believe there's so much mess that we need to hear. Daniel takes this opportunity to glorify God. Daniel takes this opportunity to make a point. He doesn't come with his chest stuck out and say, I want to tell you, I am some prophet. This came to me and I'll let you know. He never done that. He said it wasn't me, but it was God that done it. It wasn't my wisdom, it was the wisdom of God that let this come to pass. He never boasts himself, he boasts of God. There's a lesson for every one of us. And him that stand and take heed lest he fall. It's God that must get the glory in it all. And I tell you, we need to take every opportunity we have. When we have an opportunity with a man or a woman that's not saved, we need to take inventory and tell them the plan of salvation.
Amen.
Tell them that Jesus came to save us. Daniel takes this opportunity. Daniel has boldness and he takes this opportunity. And he glorifies God to this king. And I tell you, we need to take opportunity. We need to tell the people about the Lord Jesus and his plan to save. No point in telling others to do it if we don't do it. God wants every one of us to be a witness. You might not call to be a pastor or evangelist or some great preacher, and there's no great preachers anyhow. But you know what I'm saying? But every one of us is called to witness for Jesus.
Amen.
To tell them, would I tell you, I used to drink, but I'm now saved.
Amen.
I used to take drugs, but I'm now drug free. Because of a man called Jesus.
Amen.
He stood before the king with a determination to make the most of the opportunity to witness to the true God before the king. An example to every one of us to take opportunity. Witness of Jesus Christ's salvation. How often do we let it slip? How often do we take opportunity? I thought, you know, I was at a panel the other night. There was a certain thing on and I went to it. And this fellow was giving a talk and he started cursing. And I tell you, I didn't appreciate it. And I thought the boldness of the world. They don't want to hear preaching. They don't want to hear the gospel. But they take Jesus' name in vain. They'll curse in your face. And they'll make no apology. And we ought to, even if it disturbs them, even if it troubles them, even if they don't like to hear it, we should preach Jesus.
Amen.
We should be bold for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We shouldn't be afraid to witness for the Lord. Now, I don't want to get off track, but I want to tell you this. And I'm going to look at the contents. Nebuchadnezzar's dream now. I remember years ago, and a brother Yule knows it. We used to travel in a work van. And this is before smoking was banned. I'm glad smoking's banned in vehicles. It's the best thing ever happened. People's rights, I don't care. There's no right to puff it into my face. There's one fella and he used to light them for badness. And he would fill the van with smoke. So I told Brother, you'll remember, I got the Bible out and I started preaching every morning. And he said to me, you better stop that preaching, we don't want to hear it. I said, you better stop that smoking, for I don't want to smoke. So I said, you do whatever you want, you keep smoking and I'll keep preaching. And it didn't take long till he quit his smoking. Well, I was in the van anyhow. But I kept preaching, and if he smoked from Tremor to Belfast, I preached the whole way up to Tremor to Buell, can tell you. Every morning, I'd preach the word. I used to take my Bible out at 1 o'clock and read it. And if I got an opportunity, you'll always get it on a bulletin site for some smart aleck. Well, take opportunity, and that's what I love to have. I like the smart aleck. For that given opportunity to share with Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. We should take every opportunity for the Lord. Whether you're in a work site, people say, well, I wasn't in the right place. Why? Everywhere's the right place. Work, jail, school, doesn't matter where. Oh, but I'd get in trouble. Don't ever worry about getting in trouble, because you'll get in it without that. Amen. The world's not worried about getting in trouble to shove stuff in our face. We should witness for the Lord. When you see the contents of this dream from verse 31. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent. Put it up, brother. Go ahead and put that image up. Now, I want you to think of this for this morning when you see this image. This is the image. Now, there might be different drawings, but I want you to see this. When this king saw this image, I guarantee you he was terrified. He had no clue what this is about. And if you didn't have the interpretation of Daniel and you didn't have the word of God, you'd have no clue what this is all about, would you? You wouldn't have. Somebody's just quiet. You figured it all out. Now, I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about when he had it. We know it now. Yes, we know it. But when this king had it, he would have no idea what this is. And he was bigger shocked when he realized he's the head of gold. Because he's the power. Thou, O king, behold an image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee. And the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, and his breast, and his arms of silver, his belly, his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part iron, part clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet. that there were of iron and clay, and break them in pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and become like the chaff of the summer thrashing floors. Now this whole image is all depicts an empire, and it all depicts power. It depicts empires in this world, empires of power in this world. But notice, he's not into this very long, and he talks about the stone that smashes it. So all the things we're worrying about, and all the things in this world, it's coming to an end. There's another kingdom superior to these kingdoms. There's a stone which is hewn out without hands. For this is a stone which was set at naught of the builders, but it's now become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is that stone.
Amen.
And it's going to smack this image and break it to pieces. And it's going to be like the chaff of the summer thrashing floor. All that's fractured, the EU, Rome, all of it's been smashed and all of it's been broken. Don't fear yourself. The word of God says the saints rejoiced when Rome fell. And there's one thing I see already in studying this. Not many of them look too much at Rome. They're sidetracked with other things. But God's prophet gave us a clear warning. He said that Rome is the thing to look for. Not communism, but Romanism. And I tell you, Rome's the one to look for. There's a power in the world today, isn't there? And I'm closing. I'm going to read these verses. And I'm going to close. I'm not going to be on my time, but we're going to pick up on this tonight. The Lord willing, you pray for us.
Amen.
We're going to take these. The bronze, the gold, silver, brass, the clay and everything. We're going to see these empires that raised up. Then they came to, were cut off. And another raised up and they were cut off. Right till we come to the end of days. And brothers and sisters, we're living in the end of days. Jesus is coming again. The Jews rejected him 2,000 years ago on the cross. They said, let his blood be in us. Let his blood be in our children. And he was cut off. This prince, Jesus, was cut off. But there's another prince that's going to arise. There's two princes when you read it. How many understand that then? There's Jesus Christ, the real prince. There's another prince, that's the Antichrist. And he's going to make a pact with Israel. And he's going to sit in the rebuilt temple. And he's going to give them a great word, and they're going to receive it. But he'll break that word. And Israel's going to turn to God. But right in along there, there's going to be a rapture. The bride of Jesus Christ is leaving. I'm going to go home to be with the Lord. Let us stand our feet. I'm not going to go no further. I promised you I'd stop, and I'm going to. I know 40 minutes is like 5 minutes, isn't it? How many enjoy the word of God?
Amen.
Pray up. We're starting again 3:30, the Lord willing. You pray for us. The Lord will really help us. Let's close our eyes this morning. If you have a need, just lift your hand up to the Lord. God bless you, God bless you. God bless you, God bless you. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you this morning for your word. Lord, even from these Old Testament scriptures, we can take a learning and a look for our own lives. Lord, help every one of us to tell others of Jesus. Lord, if we really believe these things, you are coming again. We're living in the last days. Help us to take inventory. Tell others about the Lord. Help us to set our houses in order. Help us that Christ will be the head of our home. Help us, Lord, to not be afraid to pray and seek you. And have extra prayer meetings, Lord, as we see the day approaching. Many are cancelling the prayer meeting. But Daniel had an extra one. Lord, we give you the praise and all the glory for these great truths of your Bible. Lord, we need your strength in these days. We need your courage. Ask for the hands raised this morning. Pray from a brother, from a sister that's raised their hands. Lord, will you meet their needs? Will you touch their heart? Will you touch their life? Lord, will you meet into the very situation? Answer the prayer, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name. Pray for Nigel's weak girl. You'll continue to touch her and heal her. Bring her to full health and strength. We curse that ailment upon her in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray you'll continue to strengthen the dad. May the strength of God be on him in Jesus' precious name. For any others that need your touch, touch them, we pray. In Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, bless your word to our hearts. Grant us thy great wisdom and guidance. Someone would ever listen in the meetings, may they get saved. May they hear someone the point of the Calvary. Amen. And to Jesus Christ as a Savior. Father, bless us now. Bless the song leaders he comes. Tell them I've come or call in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as your brother comes.